All right, guys, welcome to episode number 147 of the Ardello Training Podcast with my special guest and the always awesome Dan John.
Welcome to the new revolution in fitness and performance, the Ardello Training Podcast, forging athletic bodies around the world. Here's your host, physical therapist and strength coach, Scott Ardello.
All right, guys, thanks for joining me this week for episode number 147. In this week's episode, I have Dan John. Dan does a lot of podcast interviews, but he always delivers new insights and great knowledge. He always has great information to share. This interview is no different. This is a fantastic session, I guarantee not to disappoint. And this is Dan's fourth appearance on the show here, making him the new leader in guest appearances on the Ardello Training Podcast, which is pretty cool. All right, a few quick things before we get into things with this week's interview. First of all, I wanted to let you know The Edge of Strength, my first major book, my print book, will be released on December 15th. I'm very excited to say that right now it is available on Amazon as a pre-order. This is something I set up late last week. I'm really excited about it, and I'll have a link for that in the show notes for this episode, or just search my name or the book title, The Edge of Strength, in Amazon. And if you've already pre-ordered that, I had a lot of pre-orders, which is really fantastic. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And I can't wait to get this book out there. Still have a lot of work to do before the 15th, but I'm really excited about it, and it will be out there soon. Speaking of books, Dan John has a new book titled Before We Go. That book is being released the same day that this episode goes live. And here's what I just decided to do. And by the way, you're going to learn about the new book and a lot more in this interview session. But I'd like to give away three free print copies of this book, because I'd like to help get this book into more people's hands. Listen, Dan's work is so exceptional. You're going to hear me talk about that in the interview. His work has had the greatest influence on me personally and so many other people I know as well. So I'd like to help a little bit by getting three free copies out there. To win a copy, all you need to do is drop in a review on iTunes or Stitcher if you have not left a review for the Ardello Training Podcast in iTunes or Stitcher before. And then simply send me the screenshot of the review, or let me know which review is yours. Now, it does take about 24 hours or so for the review to post in iTunes, but I would love to do this. And what I'm going to do is randomly select three people to send out three free copies. And again, only new reviews for this giveaway. And the deadline for this will be the end of the day next week, next Wednesday, November the 25th. And then I'll announce the three winners in the next week's episode. So 2 weeks after the release of this episode, I'll announce the three free winners. And then I'll send out three copies of the brand new book, Before We Go. All right, so I am really excited to share this interview with you. Dan and I were able to pull together an interview very quickly to bring this to you, and I had every intention to keep this interview to 30 minutes, to tell you the truth. We did this on a Saturday morning, and as you're going to hear, the content kept building and building, and we kept going deeper and deeper into things, and Dan was so generous to spend really double that amount of time. We actually ended up talking for over an hour, but great stuff as always. Dan John is one of the most respected and admired coaches in the industry. He's one of the guys that I look up to the most, without question. He's had such an influence on me. He has certainly impacted my philosophy and approach to training and coaching. And he's one of the great guys in the industry. And I'm so honored to have him back on the show. I really am. I'm so appreciative and so honored to have Dan join me. He's the author of many great books that you're going to hear about right as we kick off this interview. But he is the author of a brand new book titled Before We Go. And Dan's work, again, has had some of the greatest impact on me and so many people that I've talked to. Dan is truly a legend, and he continues to build his legacy in this industry. This is a unique interview, guys. And I want to tell you, actually, before we get into it, that if you do decide to get the book Before We Go, my recommendation would be to get it through On Target Publications. Laree Draper does such an amazing job of giving away so many great extra bonuses in addition to the books or educational DVDs that you purchase through OnTarget, it really makes it a no-brainer. And I'm actually going to spend more time talking about this in future episodes because I end up getting so many educational resources through OnTarget, and especially because of all the extra bonuses, all the extra educational material that you get. And I'm talking about extra PDFs, audios, and videos that come along with the main products that you purchase through OnTarget. Again, it makes it a real no-brainer to do this. And since Dan's book, the new book Before We Go, is published through OnTarget, you get extra bonus material when you purchase the book through OnTarget. Again, this is the recommendation that I recommend for you. This is where I get my educational materials from. And I'm going to definitely spend more time talking about this. Some of the great resources that I have in my own educational library, I'll be breaking them down and sharing them with you in the future here on the Ardella Training Podcast. Now, I did set up a special link, so you can go to ardellatraining.com/learn. That's R-D-E-L-L-A training.com/learn. And you can check out all the great educational resources from OnTarget. So let me tell you about this interview here real quick, and then we're going to get right into it. And definitely be sure to check out the show notes for this episode. It's very important to check out the show notes because there are links to important things that we talked about in this interview. There is a summary of an important concept that we talked about. There are some very important things in the show notes for episode 147. So make sure that you go to the website and check out this interview and all the extra resources that are there in the show notes. Wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. So you're going to hear the story behind Dan's new book. You're going to hear why the powerful cover, why that was done. Very powerful story. And we start off talking about that, how this book is different from Dan's previous work. Dan shares some very specific training advice. So get out your pen and notepad to take some notes on this. I guarantee this is important stuff, very valuable, insightful training wisdom here. And you're also going to get some specific advice about great coaching and his system for writing. If you're a writer or want to write yourself, then you've got to hear about his accordion method. This is just brilliant, amazing stuff from Dan. And you're going to hear also what's coming next from Dan John. This is an amazing interview. Again, like I mentioned in the beginning, guaranteed not to disappoint. So let's do it. Let's jump into the interview with Dan John. All right, so before we get into this interview here, I do want to acknowledge this incredible body of work. So let me read something to you. So I have a list here of Never Let Go, Intervention, Mass Made Simple, Can You Go, Easy Strength, Fat Loss Happens on Monday, from Dad to Grad, and many DVDs and educational products. Dan, I have to say, your books are some of the most referenced books and resources that I have in my home library, and I have a ton of books. So first of all, thank you for putting out such amazing, great resources, great content for all of us. And I'm dying to hear about your new book, Before We Go. So let's start out with the cover of the book. Let's start out with right at the beginning. So the cover, what you have is a great image of you. And in the background, it says, "Did you get better today?" I love this cover. Can you explain the concept behind the cover?
Well, I didn't know it, but the story is, in fact, I'm glad we're doing this interview just for that question. That, it's funny, when I finish this, it's going to be, what you're about to hear is going to be the best part of the whole thing.
Okay.
So I did a workshop with Chip Conrad down in Texas, and the guys who ran the facility were working with a young man who had really turned his life around. He had been struggling with, you know, the usual issues of adolescence and stuff. And man, he just, you know, he 180'd and went off to college and came home. When he went back to school, he was killed in a traffic accident. So when they went to his dorm room, that is the sign that was on his dorm room wall. Did you get better today? And when I heard about it, it was like, oh my God. I mean, even now I get a little bit, you know, my throat catches a little bit. I mean, that's a beautiful story. And so, in a way, we didn't know all of this, but it just turned out to be such a perfect it's just such a perfect image. And then when you throw the story of the young man, and then you throw in the style of book of A Never Let Go or Before We Go, where, you know, you're kind of constantly trying to, you know, turn the wheel back into the right direction. I mean, I'm kind of honored to remember the story. When I, of course, you know, my background's in theology. One of my favorite stories of all time, if you don't mind, a little quick one, is a terrible event happened. So a rabbi went to the woods and in a special place said a special prayer. Years later, another terrible event happened and another rabbi went into a different place and said the same prayer and things turned around. Years later, another terrible event happened and another rabbi went somewhere and he said, I don't know the prayer and I don't know the place, but I know the story and a miracle happened. And I've always felt that that is the very, that's the, in my coaching career, very often what turns a kid, I mean, not a bad kid, I mean, just, well, bad kids do, I guess, in a way, you know.
Right.
But what sometimes will light the fire under an athlete is the story. Sometimes they just need to hear, and it's what Dick Notmeyer did for me, God bless him. When I'd be down or I'd be struggling, he'd say, you know, I used to work with a kid just like you. And he would tell about Jeff or Tony and then say how when they came to this, you know, junction, here's what they did. And it always lit up my brain so much better than a piece of paper with some numbers on it.
Sure.
You know, and so that story, you know, did you get better today? Knowing that a young man, that's what the young man had on his dorm room wall. You know, it wasn't naked pictures. It wasn't people playing a video game. You know, it was, did you get better today? So I find that illuminating.
That's very powerful. And I knew there had to be some sort of story behind that. And that's why I wanted to ask. And I think it's a great image for the front of the cover. Now, you just mentioned Dick Notmeyer, and I did happen to notice that this book, the new book, is dedicated to Dick Notmeyer. I haven't noticed in your previous work. Had you made any of your previous work dedicated to Dick?
No. Well, it, of course, you know, from dad to grad is obviously to Kelly. But, yeah, one of the best things I ever wrote in my life. I'm so full of myself. But in A Never Let Go, I dedicated to Tiffany, and I say, you know, she believed in my dreams until she believed in my dreams until she became them. And then Gary, I dedicated Intervention, my brother Gary, who literally has always been there my whole life. He's the, yes, whenever I talk about a Vietnam vet, it's Gary.
Right.
So yeah, I did it. No, I've mentioned Dick many times, and somewhere in my, somewhere I'm sure in one of my 1,000 computers,
right.
I have a whole. I wrote actually about a 50-page thing for Dick one time. It was for he enjoys 50th wedding anniversary, and it's the sometimes you'll see it. I do think it's. I think it have it. It's the Pacifica Barbell Club training program, and then. I also, Dick is a hilarious guy. Yeah, he's a very funny man. And it, honestly, you had to be there for so many of the stories. When he came back from the 76 Olympics, he said the hardest thing, pardon me, about being at the Olympics was that Europeans, when they stand in line, don't stand in line like Americans. I'd be chalking up to get ready for a lift, and all of a sudden there'd be like four people standing right next to me, and that the joke would be chalking up like Europeans, you know. And so, you know, you bench press and everyone get real close to your face as bench pressing like Europeans. No offense to my European brothers and sisters, but it was always funny, you know.
Yeah.
He always was funny. You know, you would do something. If you made a mistake, we had a little bell, he would ring. He wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't say anything. He just, it was called clackers. The bell was called clackers. And he'd just pick up the bell and ring it. It'd be done. You know, that just meant you did something stupid. You know, he was a great man. You know, I still talk to him a lot. In fact, his birthday is October 13th. And I call when I got back from, I was in Ireland. Okay. When I got back from Ireland, I called him and we realized that he's been my coach for 40 years.
Wow.
And, he asked me the same questions. Dan, you take a protein every day? Yes, Dick. You still eating vegetables? Yes, Dick. You know, supplements are important for your health. You should take supplements. I know.
Really?
That. And
that's funny.
Make sure you go bicycle riding and walking, be sure you lift weights. Thanks, Dick. It's like stuff I've known, but it's always the same questions. You know, it's always a fabulous guy.
But he's reinforcing, which is fantastic.
Oh. Well, he's a little upset with himself because he's 84, I think, now.
Yeah.
And now he can only – he used to be able to lift and bicycle every day. Now he can only lift or bicycle every day.
Okay.
So that bothers him, you know, which just makes me, Dick, you're 84, you're doing okay, you know?
Yep. All right. So Dan, explain the title of the book before we go. What's the meaning behind the title?
Well, somebody said to me, I should keep always, all my books should have go in there, which I that was kind of silly, yeah. But one person mentioned to me about a year ago that when I do a workshop, when I have time, you know, not the hard thing to explain, Scott, but sometimes there's a hard finish on a workshop. I know things are good is when we still have time at the end. And I'll say, okay, before we go, I just want to tell you. And then people say that the best parts of my workshop are that before we go, when I say before we go, and I talk about where I'm heading. The book, Can You Go? The first time I mentioned it was, oh, okay. Oh, so before we go, here's kind of how I assess people. And this guy came up after and said, he was at a loss for words. And can you explain it better? Of course, trying to explain it better, turn it into a book. So before we go, the book on programming that I'm working on right now is a before we go moment. So before we go is just this little tiny segue I'll say at the end of a workshop about, okay, all that stuff I told you is cool, but here's what I'm working on. So before we go is here's all the other stuff.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. It's nothing.
Now, So here's the big question I wanted to ask you. Actually, the previous questions were pretty big as well, but how does this book build on your previous work? All the other books that I mentioned earlier, how does this book build on top of what you've already done?
So remember, my background, my background is in education. So there's two sides to education. Systematic. Now that's the systematic books would be Intervention, Mass Made Simple, Can You Go? The next one, which I think I'm going to call Now What? These are the books that take you from what's your goal? What exercises do you know? Here's a program for you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Right.
That's those books would be geometry, algebra. Okay. You know, you learn to multiply, you know, you learn to add, you learn to subtract, you learn to multiply. The other side is systemic education where you get dipped into something and that's Never Let Go and Before We Go. Basically, I'm a strong believer that you should have a great foundation. And then from there, you should, for 2 to 6 to 12 week periods, dive into interesting things. Sometimes they're stupid ideas and sometimes they really change your career. When I started doing the farmer walks, the story isn't as clear as it should be in my head, but this guy told me about the finish of a Highland Games in this other place, that the last event was the farmer walks. And I said, well, because I knew what they were. And I go, that must kill you. He goes, it's amazing. The train for the farmer walk, it's like a little, just like a little throw out. He just tosses it out. He says, you know, training for the farmer walk seemed to help me in all my other events. So I started doing farmer walks. I mean, just simple farmer walks. And all of a sudden I noticed that my throws were improving. It's like, this is crazy. Well, now loaded carries are a foundational part of my training. So sometimes what you learn on a whim becomes foundational. And so Never Let Go and Before You Go are those very often those leaps into the idiocies of that, of what we do in this field. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. So they are, it's a compilation.
Yes.
And the problem with the compilation is that sometimes compilations don't agree with each other. And if you read Lopi's book, Lopi Delk, the Texas powerlifting Texas style, or you read McCallum's Keys to Progress. You know, it's funny about the Get Big drink in McCallum's Keys to Progress. I think it's in the book three times, and it's different all three times. And so what happens in compilations is sometimes the information disagrees with itself. Now, some people who are probably young have a problem with, things not lining up.
Right.
But I think as you get older and older, you suddenly realize that having opposites often work just as well. Eating breakfast is going to really help you to your health and fitness goals. Skipping breakfast is probably going to help you to your health and fitness goals. Well, some poor listener is going right now saying, well, which is it?
Right.
The answer is, well, yes. they both work. Yeah. So wait, are you telling me adding fat to your coffee will make you leaner? Well, it seems to make some people leaner. Are you telling me that adding fat to your coffee can make you fatter? Yeah, it seems to make some people fatter. So what's the answer?
It depends, right?
I'm sorry, man, but there's that wonderful tug in life between, joyful dancing and, what happened this weekend in Paris.
Yeah.
And that's that tension that the human body goes through all the time. So when you do a compilation, you get that kind of thing. A lot of people tell me it's their favorite kind of books of mine because they're so readable. You can take these kind of books on a plane and you can stay involved because it's more like, this is hard, but if you watch the original Producers, the movie Producers by Mel Brooks, I've been told that that's one of the longest single camera openings in history. I guess it's one scene and it holds on for about 20 minutes. And then you watch, say, the last season of Glee, where they couldn't hold the camera on a character for more than a second. Did you ever notice that? It's worth actually watching how bad Glee got towards the end because they couldn't even, the camera wouldn't stay. During a dance, you wouldn't see the camera stay on a person for more than a second. So even the fine dancers were never, you couldn't see it. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's this tension in our modern audience. They want this. They want the producers 20 minutes of absolute clarity, but they also want it to change every second.
Right.
So I guess what my book's never let go before you go, it's my Glee book, okay? Every few pages, the topic changes, okay? Yeah. If that makes sense to you.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's what made Never Let Go, or what has made Never Let Go so successful. I mean, that's one of my favorite books, and it's because it's just so many different pieces of information that it all works. And it's amazing. Every chapter is this incredible insight, So yeah.
Thank you. I totally appreciate that. And then a book like I think Can You Go is by far it's the only book of mine that I'd give a passing grade because it's funny how it's like people look at it and go, oh, okay. So you do this assessment thing, and then from the assessment, you coach them, huh? Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Oh man.
Oh, and now I will take off my top and juggle balls, and then I will put on hats, and I will sing, and yeah. Then a cheerleader dies in a car accident. What do you want? What do you want from me? Yeah, I just yeah. But I think when I look at Can You Go, I'm like, yeah, look at that. There you go. And this follows to this, the logic there, yes. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I like where you're heading there. Oh, book's over. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a system, like you said. Yeah,
people hate that. Yeah. People hate that kind of book.
I thought it was fantastic.
But and it's funny because it's intervention and Can You Go are used by quite a few colleges now. So I Skype into the classrooms, which is kind of fun because, I mean, no offense to Voltaire, never Skypes into your classroom. Shakespeare doesn't do it. You can't get Cervantes to do it. I mean, so I'm willing to do this kind of thing, you know? What I do like about the college campus now and this ability to Skype in, I just feel that it's just really giving these college kids a chance to read a book and then they can ask questions. And it's funny to hear the questions because then you can see where the big gaps are with, these young kids come from this, many of them either come from the Frankenstein tradition, leg day, arm day, tricep day, core day.
Yes.
Or they come from this, kind of this, almost like they throw everything into a blender mentality of training. And so they don't have they have a lot of knowledge and they're very enthusiastic, but they don't, sometimes they're doing geometry without knowing addition. If you follow.
Yes.
They're moving ahead, but they missed a few steps. And it's kind of fun to, when you hear that they missed a step, like I read an article yesterday about the Olympic lifts being far too complex and dangerous to coach. And I'm like, well, I coach football for God's sakes. If you could coach football, you could coach the Olympic lifts. Yes, it's dangerous and complex, far more dangerous and far more complex than the Olympic lifts. I never got a concussion doing the Olympic lifts. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right.
I sure got a lot of them playing football. Did I tell you I played football? That's my usual joke. Concussion joke with it.
All right, Dan, what do you hope this book, what do you hope that before we go, we'll do for people? Is there one thing that you hope people will get out of this book?
Yeah, it's the one chapter on 40 years in the weight room. That's the one chapter. It's funny because I'm at 50 years this year. The reason we use the 40 with that book, it's 40 years because it's 40 years since I started keeping a journal of weightlifting. So when I wrote that article, I had a journals. 40 years worth of journals in the weight room.
Wow.
This is my 50th year of lifting weights. So if that's the article, if you just read that, and you can get it online, so don't even buy the book. But that's it, And what you find in that article is, I think, the big picture. I mean, there's 40 different things in there. And some of them don't line up with each other. And some of them are almost the exact same thing. So for me, I think lifting, I think fitness, I think trying to achieve, a solid level of health, trying to have your, being playful, getting outside. I think that's the goal of all the work I do, is to push you in that direction, and not push you, walk with you in that direction. And those would be the chapters I'd want you to think about.
So the 40 years of insight, I believe, is the name of the chapter. So it's really 40 essentially tips.
Yeah.
That, okay. Got it.
But the tips are all fairly long tips. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's really interesting because this is one of the chapters that I wanted to ask you about in the book. So let me ask you about a few more of the chapters that I picked out. And again, as I mentioned, these are chapters that I picked out based on the headline of the chapter. So I have an advanced copy, a PDF version of the book. I'll share with you right now on the show, as we actually talked about prior to the interview, is I am a book reader. So I like to get the actual print book. And when I read your material, I like to sit down with a highlighter and a red pen and I highlight and mark up all the important points. So as much as I love the PDF version that I've had just a couple of days to go through, I really can't wait to get my hands on the physical copy, the print book. because as, again, as I mentioned in the beginning, your books are some of the most referenced books in my library. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. So going back to the point about the chapters, let's talk about a couple things here. So how about Goblet Squats 101?
Well, I did a couple of years ago, I did a series. It's odd because, you know, I don't edit my own work, which is a good thing. But there's five chapters in the book. On one's on the push, one's on the pull, one's on the hinge. And then from the hinge, it goes into the swing and the swing family. And then the squat and the loaded carry. Well, the one on goblet squatting was just to talk about my approach to squatting. It's a very simple book. Yeah, the goblet squat is when you take your elbows and you push your knees out. So all those pictures I see in the books that have come out, you know, I invented the goblet squat. There's no question about it. I love it when people say I didn't. And it's like, really? I work in religious studies. So we have to do things like footnote and show sources. And it's just show me a source that says goblet squat before. But the goblet squat is not having your elbows go between your knees. The goblet squat is when your elbows push your knees out. And so I try to highlight that. And then I try to explain my belief that if you have, especially if, you know, if you got a beat up athlete who still needs to compete, they don't, if they just do the movement of squatting, that's pretty good. It's not, and that might be the hardest lesson I've learned in my career is when I first started lifting, the squat was just a good exercise. And then the squat became the answer to all questions. And now I think that I'm back to the world that the squat is a very important, it's a fundamental movement, but it's not the answer to each and every question. And so getting your squat up to 1,200 pounds is not going to make you an elite football player.
Right.
In fact, it might even destroy your ability to play football. Now, my powerlifters, brothers and sisters, you know what I just said. For you at a contest, you need to squat 1,200 pounds. But for the rest of us, you know, we just don't need that kind of load. Sure. And I mean, and so it's my attempt to teach my squatting system, you know, methods. And powerlifter types hate it.
Let me just ask you, how would you summarize the single biggest benefit of the goblet squat?
Oh, the fact that you can the fact that you can drop in that deep position that stretches out that whole hip area and even, you know, even your legs and all the great benefits it does. I have to agree with what those guys did a year ago. Remember that 30-minute squat challenge a day where you're supposed to stay in a squat position?
Right.
I agree totally that the human body should spend quality time every day in a deep squat. Yes, probably spend some time hanging every day and probably spend a lot of time walking every day.
Yes.
And if you did those three things, I'm not saying it's a perfect program. There is no such thing. But if you squatted, you know, and hung for and walked, you'd probably be okay. And then sprint when you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Another chapter is the five jackasses of fitness. What's that one about?
Oh, that one's going to upset my British readers. When you go to Amazon UK, you find out that they don't like it when I'm mean. And I apologize to them. The five jackasses of fitness. I wouldn't say that myself. That is the T Nation's title for that that article. These are five people that tend to bother you a little bit. You know, the last one I think is about the guy who types as anonymous or the fake name, and it's going to happen again. It's already happened. I mean, I went to my Facebook account last night, and I deleted a whole bunch of friends, whole bunch. You know, the second people started blaming President Obama for the terrorism in Paris, I decided, you can't be my friend anymore. Boom, bye.
Yeah.
But you always hear after an event like that, I tell you what I would have done if I'd have been there. I'd have taken that rifle and I'd have shoved it up. You know, you always hear that kind of nonsense, you know.
Right.
And I mean, I can't tell you all the details, but of the people who are, I've had more than my experience with bad things and people shooting things. And I got to tell you one thing. What happens is you pee is what happens. That's one of the first things that happen. It shocks you. And we get it in weightlifting. Yeah, I tell you what I would have done. I tell you, I could if I was a strength coach for the Chicago Bears, oh, they'd be undefeated right now. No, they wouldn't. And you hear that nonsense all the time. Just the way people rip and attack you. That is the problem with the internet. As wonderful and as great as it is, that's the big one. I mean, I originally it was going to be 10, but I really found writing that article, sounds stupid, but to be harmful to my soul.
Yeah.
I found it. It was just so negative. It's not, you know, I mean, if you decide to go to a large, shopping store today and, you know, summarize five kinds of Americans, you know, and, you know, I saw the, you know, after about 5 minutes of doing it, you don't feel good about yourself, about your judgmental ways, you know.
Right, right.
Unless that's the way you are. My college students will sometimes write, well, it's funny how my college students will do this. On one hand, my college students will say to me, well, I'm not going to judge anybody. And I thought, well, if you never judge anybody, you can't be a coach. You're probably not going to be a very good mother or father. You know, your daughter walks out of the house in a snowstorm in a bikini and high heels. You might want to tell her, you know, it's okay to judge her decision right there. You know, you're not going to make a very good member of a jury. You're not going to make a good lawyer. You're going to make a terrible police officer. And then in the next statement, they'll tell me that I've violated their constitutional right because I don't accept late work, because somewhere in the Constitution is the right to turn in late material. I find this generation interesting. That was a large segue, but I'm not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable being so negative in that article. I didn't feel like anything. I didn't feel like that article came out with anything at the end of it.
Okay. Well, Interesting. I mean, it caught my attention, you know, just again, based on the headlines. So that's why I wanted to ask about it.
And it'd be nice if, you know, when you see, I didn't like writing it. I don't like it now. The upside of it, but it is part of the body of work. So yeah, it's, you know, and it's good. It's good for me to tell you this, Scott, because this helps me in the future. What this little conversation we're having is helping me kind of weed away what I don't like to do as much as what I like to do.
All right. Well, happy to help. For sure. Let's actually switch gears and talk about a good one, though. Let's talk about how I really train. I think that'll be a really good topic.
You know, every so often, T-Nation will ask me, there's a couple in Never Let Go, and every so often people ask me this thing. I think the editor, TC, who's a great guy, I think TC has this odd interest in the fact that I've been lifting weights for 50 years. And, you know, and frankly, it's interesting. I try to train like I tell people. Let me give you a kind of a typical thing we're doing right now. Mike Brown told me I need to do more work on the ground again, you know. So we do 5 minutes of unweighted Turkish get-ups. They're called naked Turkish get-ups. So that's how we start our workouts now. And basically, it's rolling around the ground for 5 minutes. It's wonderful. Here's the funny thing I find out about it. Getting up and down off the ground for 5 minutes gets my heart beating and makes me feel good.
Right.
From there, I'm trying a little experiment where we do, after the Turkish get-ups, we do one-arm press, dip, chin, and then TRX work, and we just vary the numbers every day. It can be as few as a set of one, a set of two, a set of three. You can double that, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, a set of two, a set of three, a set of five, or double that, 2, 3, 5. But what I'm trying to do, Scott, is one arm press, dip, chin, and do the basic TRXs of the T, the Y, and I every day for a while, to see if just doing, I know how weird, if I can get stronger by doing lifts I'm trying to work on every day. Now, I know the answer is yes. That's why I'm doing them. From there, we do this little warm-up where it's a set of 15 swings, goblet squats, march in place, and then the four fundamental stretches that we do in our gym, which is the stony stretch left, the stony stretch right, the windmill stick left, and the windmill stick right. So doing that gets you to 75 swings, 15 goblet squats, march in place, and the four big body stretches. The reason I want to be so specific there is if you have to leave right now, you've done 5 minutes of Turkish get-ups, you've done four basic strength moves, 75 swings, 15 goblet squats, marched in place, and did the big mobility movements. If you left right now, you would be okay. From there, we have someone getting ready for the Russian kettlebell certification. So this, we're an odd gym, Scott. If you come in and say you're getting ready for this weightlifting meet, all of us will train with you with your Olympic lifts. Now, we'll all do different things, but we'll support your goal of doing, you follow?
Yes.
So we'll all become kind of hybrid-y Olympic lifters for a while.
Yeah.
If you come in and you're getting ready to go off to boot camp, or you're getting ready to go off to, you know, deployment or something, we'll all kind of support you on your goals for a while. If you're getting ready for the RKC, hatefully, we'll all help you prep for the snatch test and all the stuff we've got to do.
Right.
So we've got three people preparing for the RKC right now. So that means 2 days a week. After we do that little part, we basically do lots of snatches. And what we'd also do with that, we do all kinds of, you know, loaded carries and all the other stuff, of course. But what I wanted to go through in detail was that warm up. After the snatches, we'll do the bird dog series, Tim Anderson's original strength stuff, a few other things. But I try real hard to mix kind of the high energy stuff, the heavy stuff with bird dogs. Lots of snatches followed by these stretches we call events. Lots of loaded carries followed by getting on the ground and just moving the joints a little bit easily. Okay. That's kind of how I try to see things. I see workouts as a bit of, well, the sawtooth was the tradition, you know, the sawtooth training, and it's kind of still what we do, but I physically try to get you to sawtooth. So you'll do, you know, we'll do a 3 minute snatch test followed by getting on our hands and knees and doing those neck rotations. 3 minute snatch test followed by bird dogs, if you follow. So we're trying to get you standing up and then getting on the ground in the workout. Not only trying to get your heart rate up with the snatches, but consciously trying to bring it down with the groundwork.
How long are your typical training sessions? Do they vary a lot, or are they pretty standard? Yeah.
One thing that really helps us is that we train in my garage. So my garage doors are open and I live in Utah. So in the summer, it's 110. And in the winter, it's 2 degrees. So we're talking about well below freezing.
Yes.
So what it naturally happens is we'll notice that our spring workouts extend out to an hour and a half, because we'll go in the backyard and I've got a rope that hangs from the tree, and I've got rings that hang from a tree, and we put up this little kind of a monkey gym, you know, thing where you swing to here and you do rings here, and we can spend 40 minutes playing on that stupid thing. And in the winter, though, we get the workout done, we get out of there. Yeah. So winter workouts tend to be 30 to 45 minutes. Fall tend to be around an hour. Spring are the longest by far. And then summer varies by what people need to do.
One other follow-up question there. So, and when you mentioned lots of snatches, so I'm curious, what are lots of snatches to you? So you actually did say 3 minutes of snatches, but
sure.
From a volume standpoint, what do you consider?
We're looking at three. I think if you're training the kettlebell snatch, the number, if you're doing a snatch workout, the number should be 300. I based this, this is so unscientific, but shut up. This is my system. So when I was a track coach, I had a rule for my sprinters. It was called the rule of 1200. Okay.
Right.
And 1200 meters. So as a sprinter, you can probably do, I mean, we could time you for a 1200 meters and that'd be pretty much a wasted workout. But if we had to do 2 600 meters in a day, that's a tough workout. 300 to 400 meters, that's a rough one. A good workout might be a 400 plus an 800. 1200s would be a great workout. Six, 100 meter sprints followed with, you know, maybe one 400. You follow what I'm getting? A wiggle that. Yes. Now that's the volume. I mean, lots of sprints coaches will hear that thing and say, that's a lot of volume. I agree. But you know what we're trying to do? I mean, we don't have, I mean, no offense, I teach at a Catholic school in Utah. You're not going to exactly have, you're not going to really get a lot of genetic superstars in the sprints. You're just trying to get kids who can finish the 400, you know, win by conditioning.
Right.
So I took that concept and developed, put it into the snatch training. And I see a 5-minute snatch test, the 100 snatches as like a 400 meters. You kind of feel the same way-ish at the end of 400 meters as you do at the end of the 100 snatches. So I just multiplied it by 3. So, you know, we're thinking that if you're going to do a workout focused on the kettlebell snatch, 300 snatches is about as high as you ever want to go. Now you can do, I mean, I can, that now gives you hundreds of good workouts to do. We have this one that we prepare you for the snatch test. Are you okay with me going in this much depth?
Yeah. I'm really interested. Yeah. So I'm dialed in here. Absolutely.
Okay, let me give you my favorite workout to prepare for the snatch test.
Yeah.
You'll never use the snatch test bell. You'll always go light. So you're going to use a 24 for your test, all right? Example.
All right.
So on the first test, we're going to have you do 100 snatches as fast as you can. You're going to go 20, 20, 15, 15, 10, 10, 5, 5 with a 16. Well, you might crush that in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Great.
Right.
The question I have for you at the end of that, what bothered you? Your lungs, your guns, or your buns? So if it's your lungs, and that's me, the snatch test, I can continue to snatch test. I mean, my arms can handle the snatch test. My upper body, my butt can handle the 24 without a problem. But you'll hear me breathing like that, okay?
Right.
So what we have to do from there is that first test, figure out which of the three we need to focus on. Most of the time for men, it's the lungs. The next set, we'll let you rest as much as you want. You'll take the 12th. And you'll crush it, and you'll probably get that done, the 100 reps, in 3 minutes 15 or so. And then the last set, you'll do with the 10. And you'll do the 100 snatches with the 10, and it really won't bother you that much because, Scott, you're male, and so guns and buns aren't your problem. So what we're trying to teach you to do with this particular workout is that the goal of the test, of the snatch test, is the 100 snatches. So we're teaching you to get mentally to 100 every different combination we can. Here's what I learned by doing this. And most people say the same thing happens. I know that when with my left hand, which I go first, I go left, then right. If I can get to 100 reps with my left hand, check that. When I get to rep 18 with my left hand, the test is over. Because that's my weaker arm.
Right.
The 20 is the hardest set. I've only got 2 more reps. Mentally, I've already done 100.
Got it.
Because now I go to my right arm. You know, I'm a discus thrower, shot putter. I mean, come on, bring that over here. Then I get those 20, and then I go 15, 15, 10, 10, 5, 5. I'm done mentally. And that's what we're trying to get you to do. So that's one kind of workout. Can I give you one more example?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, you get to take as long as you want on this workout. But it's 200 snatches where you go 20, 20, 20, 20. So left, right, 15, 15, 15, 15, 10, 10, 10, 10, with your snatch bell, the testing bell. Great. But when you get to the fives, you go up. You either get to the 28 or the 32, whatever you have, 36 if you want. But the idea is to come into those last fives fatigued. So it's a 200 snatch workout, but those last 20, you're done heavy, heavier load, under fatigue. And what it's interesting is it teaches, especially females, that when tired, I need to punch more. When tired, I need to use my butt more.
Right.
And that answers the lungs check that, the guns and buns problem.
Got it. Let me ask you, are there, I'm sure you've written about this before. So what are the articles where people could find these workouts, or is this in the book?
No, it's not actually. It's not. Okay. When I was with Strong first, Mike and I wrote all this up, but then it got buried. It's hard to find them. If I can get permission, or you know what you could do for me, Scott, if you can find that, would you mind posting that on this?
Definitely. I think I know where to look. So if I can find the information for sure, I'll attach a link for it in the show notes. Absolutely.
And I'm standing up, Scott. And the hard thing for me is Mike and I wrote, can you still hear me okay?
Yes.
Sorry, I got to add, I'm getting a little more coffee.
No problem.
Mike and I wrote, which I thought, two very insightful articles about, you know, programming, and they're impossible to find. And that's just, that's, so, but you, if you wouldn't mind linking up both of those articles for me, because I think there's a, I think they're very good. And Mike Brown is a Mike genius Brown, of programming.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. I am quite sure I can find that article. And I have linked to that in the past, to say the truth. But I will be sure to put that for sure in the show notes for this episode. No question. And so Dan, I didn't want to.
Scott. And the other one.
Yes.
Talks about Pavel's kettlebell programs. And what we did, what I thought was really smart, is we showed the kettlebell needs. That's one thing a lot of people don't do, is that I give you this workout, but I forgot to tell you the equipment needs. You follow? And that's something I'm going to try to be a lot better at in the future, is if you do a workout like Math Made Simple or something like that, I need to be a lot clearer that you'll need a barbell, squat racks, bench press, dumbbells. You know, you'll need all this equipment. And part of the problem I think a lot of us have is, you know, especially in the kettlebell world, here's this workout. Here, buy my new book about, you know, kettlebell, cardio bursting, Bulgarian style, you know, elite training. But I forgot to mention you need 500 different kettlebells. So it's going to be really hard to do the program if you only have three or six. Make sense to you?
Totally.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. All right. Well, Dan, I didn't want to spend, or I didn't want to take too much of your time today.
Let's just go. Like I told you, the fact that you called early, I'll give you more time.
All right, good. So I did want to ask you about the book writing process, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
And I know that some of the listeners here are writers and fitness professionals and things like that. So I wonder if you could maybe just talk briefly about your book writing process and how do you get yourself into a flow state or a peak state, or are there any key tips, success tips that you have for writing successfully?
I'll give you the honest truth. Every morning I sit down and an angel comes up, touches me on the forehead and fills my brain with the article. That's exactly the process. No, Scott, but that's funny because people think think writing is a gift. I look at them like, are you a gift? It's like being a good mechanic. Yeah, it's a gift in the fact that you spend a lot of time working on cars, you know, and have a lot of interest.
Yeah.
So a couple of things I do. It's funny if you can link up that article Laurie just put up, but I get paid to write. Now, I know that sounds like an odd thing, but my income comes from writing. So if I want the heat to come on, I want gas in the car, and I want my dog fed, I better get those articles out.
Absolutely.
That honestly is helpful. One of the things that hurts a lot of people is they're waiting for inspiration. They're waiting for this thing to happen. And that's why I believe in deadlines. I am a deadline writer. Even if there is no deadline, I write on deadline. I invent deadlines for myself. So the very first thing I do, I get up every morning early. My wife works for the Department of Treasury, so she has an interesting schedule. So we roll out of bed, and I make coffee. If you don't mind, can I take a step back even before that?
Sure.
Okay, before I go to bed every night, I make sure that I have coffee made. Coffee is our alarm clock. And then I have a little piece of paper that's my to-do list. And then I write down what needs to be done for the next day. Interesting, as I've read this before, is that having writing out your to-do list actually makes you sleep better because your brain can shut that stuff off. If you're having a hard time sleeping because of a problem, get up, write out the problem, and say, I'm going to deal with this tomorrow. Oddly, you'll go to bed and your brain will be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense because you're not going to be worrying about it.
Yeah.
So,
perfect. And then about an hour before bed, we hot tub, and most of the year I ice shower, but now I can't use it outside anymore because it's freezing. But hot tub, ice shower, you know, I take my fish oil, I take my ZMA, I take this curcumin stuff that's supposed to be good for inflammation. I like it. I'm just trying it. I take a few, you know, you take your supplements,
yeah,
and try to ease off so that after the hot tub, after the ice shower, after the supplements, you write that to-do list the next day. And now you're in that nice little area where you're calming down. But since you've written it down, your brain is, okay, got that. Sleep, wake up, drink your coffee. I always take care of emails first because for me, taking care of the emails, writing to you, yes, I can, 10 o'clock will be fine. Thank you, Scott.
right.
Is actually, it's warming up my fingers to write.
Yeah.
Okay. I use Pandora. I have a number of different stations that are just noise, just white noise in the background. I do my college work too. And then I write. Now, a couple things. This is a big one. I don't eat until I finish writing. So when I was writing Mass Made Simple, I'd call Tiff sometimes at about 3 p.m. and say, okay, I'm done for the day. And then I would eat my first meal. Wow. It took me that. Of course, Mass Made Simple, I wrote the book in like, 3 weeks. So maybe that's part of the reason it was so easy. Uh-huh. It was so easy to write that book for me in contrast to, you know, and then now I don't eat until I have finished writing. And I finish my workout. So there's no food goes into. So people say, oh, you're intermittent fasting. And I would argue, no, I'm not. I'm not eating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not fat. It's not fasting. It's not eating. Because what I find is the moment you start cooking all these other things, once you start looking for butter, where's my Kerrygold butter? That takes some brain power. That's going to kill your writing.
Right.
If you're just sitting there knocking out, I do doodle a lot. I wouldn't doodle's not good to prepare for something big. And you're still okay with this process?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the absolute hands-on process. But the step that kind of is before that is I like manila envelopes. I buy a ton of them, and what I do is I use manila envelopes with a Sharpie. I write out the big questions or the diagram that I'm working on or the problem. And then I might throw in a few articles in that manila folder, or I might print off a few things from the internet and throw them in that manila folder. Or when I get a book, I'll take notes and put them, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes. Yes.
And then once I have a manila folder, then what I start to do is what I always try to work with 3 points. I can occasionally work with 5, but if you read the book Quantum Fitness by Dardick and what was the other author? Shoot, name dropped out of my head. But you'll notice that they have 5 quantum points, but really they have 3 points, and the other two are just introduction and conclusion points. So what I try to do is then I take 3 more folders and write the big points on those folders. And then you start tossing things into that. And then if I have a chance to do workshops on it, or like I do very often, Scott, you'll say, come to my place and do a workshop. I will take this next book I'm writing or whatever, or this idea I have, and put it into a PowerPoint, add some fun pictures, add some stories. And all of a sudden I'll be looking up at the end of my talk at your place and go, well, that's really more of a book than it is an article. So that's how I do it. And then once you have a PowerPoint, you know, typing from a PowerPoint into a book is just, I mean, I can knock out, for every slide, I can knock out 2 pages. Right. And all I'm doing is just repeating what I said. So that's how Can You Go was written. And that's how Intervention was written. These other books, of course, would come from articles the easiest thing for me is for you to tell me, and boy, I'd love it if your audience would do this. Dear Dan, write an article about this. Oh my God, it would make my life so easy.
Right. Yeah, then you know exactly what to write about.
Yeah, instead I get this nonsense. Oh, you're such a good writer. Just write something, really. Yeah. You know, because inspiration, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
That's not always the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That is really great insight. And I am actually going to go back and listen to this and kind of dissect everything you just said there, because it's really, there's some great details. Sure. There.
And Scott, you can link up to Larry's article. We just posted it on OTP that yes. does this. And then are you on Facebook? Are you my friend on Facebook?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I typed some of this up on a post I gave to Josh Hillis. Okay. And if you can, maybe we can screenshot it or something like that, but it's called the accordion method. You know, where you just, if you give me 5 minutes to talk about a point, I'll give you the three big points. If you give me 5 hours, I'll fill in those three big points with all the, see, I'm stretching you. You can't see my hands, but I'm stretching the accordion out and in.
Got it. You know, just going back to a couple of things you said there in the very beginning, which is about Pandora. So that's one thing that, that really works well for me is having the right type of music on in the background. And it has to be something that's not very distracting. And classical music tends to work really well for me for whatever reason. I'd ask you about, you know, what puts you in a flow state or peak state. Classical music really puts me in a really great state to write for whatever. I've tried all different kinds of music. And the only thing that really works is classical. And then the other thing that you said is the deadlines. And that's something that I have found, especially in recent months, as I'm trying to finish my book, that deadlines are really where it's at. I mean, if you you have to have a deadline, otherwise you'll keep writing an article or a project for forever, at least for me. Again, that's just my experience. So that the deadlines, as you mentioned, are so, so important.
You know, there's so many people who do that, and they just, you know, they just don't get the work done. You know, it's like when I was in college, I used to always try to turn my papers in early because I knew that the professor, it would just be my paper. And then and I'd ask the professor, and if it's not what you want, I'll redo it. And very often the professors would say, first off, I had very good grades because it was early, but they would say, you know, I wish you'd have done a little bit more here, but don't worry about it. And that's a lesson I learned from college, is that if you get things in early, you can have a dialogue. Now that sounds weird, but do you mind if I just go into just a little bit more on that? Is that
sure? Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hang on just a second. Let me just pull something up real quick. Okay. I want to make sure I get it exactly right. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. When I have a workshop, in fact, when I'm leaving for Australia tomorrow to give this workshop, it's called The Art of Coaching. And at the end of I give a lot of resources. Like on The Art of Coaching itself, the three I give are Moneyball, the book by, you know, the book and movie.
Right.
Something called Lead the Field by Earl Nightingale. And then a course by Professor Andrew Wilson called Masters of War, History's Greatest Strategic Thinkers, and it's from The Great Courses, which is, you know, online books. And I got to tell you, learning from the great generals, learning from the great strategic writers is one of the most important things you can do as a coach. One thing Wilson brings out all the time is there's many generals who've won the battles, who've lost the wars, and the great generals are the ones who lose the battles but win the war. A good example would be a guy by the name of George Washington. Washington couldn't win a battle to save his life,
yeah,
but he won the war. Another good example would be Michael Collins, the great Irish leader, who figured out that, you know, enough is enough. And so when I'm reading things, when I'm digesting things, the system I was taught when I was little was three words: read, then think, then understand. And it's interesting because there are some books you don't need to think so much about. But when I studied my next degree, the Jesuit method was this. And the method was, when you read something, you always look at the context of the author. And I do this kind of naturally. So when you read my article about how I train as a 58-year-old, you need to make sure that you understand that I just said how I train as a 58-year-old. Because if you don't put the context of me being 58, but then when you read my training with Dick Knottmeyer back when I was 2018, I'm doing the Olympic lift 5 days a week, heavy, 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 heavy. But if you don't realize that I'm 18, 19 years old, I'm only snatching the mid 200s. I'm only cleaning the low 300s. I could recover from those kind of workouts. You follow?
Yes.
Then you throw your, point one, context. Point two, experience. Now, for me, I like when I read an article, and that's what Never Let Go and Before We Go are all about. Whenever I read an article, I always then try it. I put my own experience in. Even if I get on my hands and knees and do this original strength stuff from Tim Anderson 5 days a week. By getting on my hands and knees and doing it, I feel I could actually talk about original strength. You follow?
Yes, absolutely.
What I just did there was point three, reflection. I said, okay, do I wish I would have known these when I was 18? Yes, yes, I do. Are these a good thing to keep doing? Yes, yes, I will. Which leads us to the fourth step, which is action. The only way you can get things done is to write them down or put them in the workout. And then, of course, the fifth step is evaluation. And so I stepped back after a couple of months of doing original strength. I did it after my total hip replacement. Original strength was my training program. That's what I did. People say, and then I also used these machines to work my arms. Because it's one thing to be recovering from surgery. It's another thing to have small arms. And so context, experience, reflection, action, evaluation. By going through those steps, I'm able to take any book on any topic and utilize it as a coach. So I just read, it's called Thinking Freak or something like it. The Freakonomics guys.
Yes. Wrote the book. Think Like a Freak, I think.
Think Like a Freak. Yeah. Well, I'm going through the whole book going, this is the best coaching book I've read in months. I read John T. Reed's Succeeding book and I say, this is the best coaching book I've read in months. Because as I'm going through it, I'm going through that classic model of learning that I was taught as a child. And if I could give any advice to people, what that allows me to do, what I'm giving you how to be a good writer here, right here, okay?
Yes.
So I read a book, and at the same time I'm reading that book, I am driving it into my experience. I'm thinking about it. I'm moving with it. And then now I can write an article. Funny thing is, you might not even realize that the article I'm writing is based on Think Like a Freak because, I've run it through my training process. I've run it through my, my assistants and my interns and everybody. And we have come out with this this thing that saves us a lot of steps.
Got it. That is awesome. That is an awesome model, by the way. I want to go back to where you talked about in the beginning about the art of coaching and the three things there with the Moneyball, the Lead the Field, and the Masters of War. Tell me about Moneyball. My brain is going back to how does that fit into the picture?
Oh my God, Moneyball is cost to benefit ratio. The whole book is cost to benefit ratio. Now they call it Moneyball, but it's, for example, I read this article yesterday about, the Olympic lifts are no good. And I thought, and then all he talked about was football and rugby. It's like, but if you're a track athlete and you compete, at the university level, 3 to 6 months a year, what are you going to do the other 3 to 6 months? I competed in Olympic lifting. So, what he didn't do was the cost to benefit analysis of, if you show up and you're only giving me 6 weeks of your career for me to get you, Dan, in 6 weeks, I want to do X. I'm not teaching you the Olympic lifts. I'll teach you hinging. I'll teach you squatting as best I can in those 6 weeks. And we'll move up as far as we can on those two things. And maybe some of you I'll teach the Olympic lifts too. But really what's going to make you better is Bulgarian goat bag swings and goblet squats. That's going to make you better at hinging and squatting.
Right.
And that might help you with your goal in 6 weeks. Okay. I'm going to teach you farmer's walks on day one. Okay. Because goblet squat and farmer walks, the cost to benefit ratio is through the roof.
Got it. Okay. I was asking that without any context to the movie or the book. And that's why my brain was stuck on that point.
So in Moneyball,
yeah.
You get rid of a player who really isn't as good as you think and try to fill in three cheaper players' numbers for that one player. You got it?
Got it.
So you're trying to – so it's an amazing cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of like the book so much. Baseball makes for good books and good movies. Sadly, they allowed, you know, they're a little behind in some other things in training, but boy, you can learn some interesting things from studying baseball. I got to tell you that.
I really had every intention of keeping you about 30 minutes for this interview. And I see we are a little bit over an hour, and I thank you so much. I know the listeners are going to love this and get a ton of value.
You got more questions. My wife just left to do the errands I'm supposed to do. So it's not a problem.
Yeah. No, well, I really, just the big thing is just, you know, coming back to the book, before we go, you know, anything else that you want to mention about the book, before we really wrap things up? I would just say that so people that are going to get the book, my recommendation is to get the physical copy and then get it from On Target Books, because Laurie does such an amazing job of giving so many, you know, bonuses and so many extras when you buy any of the products at On Target. I mean, it's just, that is such a great resource and something I'm going to talk a lot more about.
You know, you're right. You know, and then my knock on Amazon is that you're going to get the book cheaper, but you're not going to get all those other freebies you get from Laurie.
Right.
Right.
And it doesn't mean this, I have to pull my financially. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying I get people will go to Amazon or Audible and all these other places and they'll go, Dan, there's supposed to be a PDF with it. Well, where'd you get it? Well, you know, some third party distributor, or, you know, it's like, well, I don't know who these people are. And yet in 2015, you know, readers can write the author and complain. You know, as much as I love Amazon, I got to tell you, there's some issues with it. But I wouldn't say Amazon is bad. Let's just say this: On Target is better. That's fair. That's
yeah,
a fair
no
thing
question.
To say.
I mean, I've bought several products from On Target, and you know, all of the products, including, you know, your DVDs, you know, Gray Cook's stuff, Doc Chang. I mean, everything is so overpacked with so many great audio resources, PDF files, so many extras. So it's a total no-brainer. And literally, this is something that I've been using for a while. Again, something I'm going to start talking about more, specific resources and products from Laurie and On Target, because they're awesome. I mean, it's just an incredible educational resource for coaches and trainers. So it's really a no-brainer. So
I like that. And, you know, and again, if any of your audience has questions, dan@danjohn.net, and that'll get to me. Scott, how many times have we talked?
This is our fourth interview. You're the first person to be on the show four times, Dan. So thank you for that.
And that's something. And I hope people would realize that I don't just come in to push my products when I come in. I mean, you did this as a favor to us, obviously, but you know, I would talk to you anytime and not even mention a product.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, again, I was going to give some context about this in the final version of the podcast, but I'll do it right now. So when I saw that your book was coming out and I had my eyes on it, I've mentioned about how valuable your books are to me. And when I saw the date, I literally reached out to you on a whim, not thinking that we could make this happen before the book launch. And I really wanted to hear about this book and just help you get the message out there. And you know, this is not a pitch fest or anything like that. This is getting a really good resource out to people that can make a difference. And that's why I do the show. And that's why I wanted to have you come on here. So that's the story and that's the truth. So thank you so much. Is there any other final comments about the book that people should know about, Dan, or where to connect with you? Obviously, everybody knows where, you know, your website, danjohn.net, your Facebook page or anything like that.
I think it'd be kind of nice if I could, I'd certainly like to honor that young man with that story a little better. So if anybody has any ideas or can help me out with that. Appreciate it. And then, if you do have questions, folks, or you want to prompt me for articles, I think that'd be a great way to, if someone has a good, like an article prompt, love to do it for you. Maybe I can answer your questions and we can also get that information out. Win-win for both of us. Make my life a little easier and answer questions. On the book itself, yeah, great. It's great, but I'm really looking forward to this next one, okay?
Excellent. What is the next one, Dan? Can you talk about that? Maybe just a little hint about that? I have no idea.
Absolutely. It's right now in my brain, it's called Now What? You've done the assessment. Now what?
Right.
So what I'm trying to do is, I think one of the biggest gaps we still have in the industry is that there's programming, peaking, periodization, and people want programs. And Dan, give me a program. But Now What is going to be dedicated to what you need, not what you want. And I'll get an email a day about, Dan, tell me how to build mass. Had an email from a reader today. There was no capitalization, no question mark. And the question was, what about mass? And I said to them, I emailed them back, well, at our parish, it's 5:30 on Saturday and 9 and 11:30 on Sunday mornings. And you're welcome to be there. And I can't wait for the response to that. Most people want to have 6-pack abs, run a marathon, compete in a triathlon, become a Navy SEAL and play in the NFL. None of it's going to happen.
Right.
So yeah. What I'm trying to do with Now What is come up with, So in Can You Go, I separate you out into 7 categories, set 8 actually, but 7. And then I realized not long ago that of the fundamental human movements, the 6th movement, which is tumbling, crawling, brachiating, all that kind of thing, that's all about survival. The hinge and loaded carries are all about thriving. If I can improve your hinge and your farmer walk, almost universally, you're a better athlete. And then the other 3, the push, the pull, and the squat, those 3 are about really sex drive. They make you look better. They make you feel better. And we know from the research from the elderly population that they actually make you frisky again. And so what I'm going to do is, for example, I'm a 3, okay? And much of the year, especially in the winter, I should probably focus on the push, the pull, and the squat. So I need to do inefficient exercise, reduce my calories, and do push, pull, and squat. Well, how do I put that together? Now, as the summer rolls around, I want to get out, start doing Highland Games and some track meets again. I need to start working on my hinge and my loaded carry. Those are 2 different programs. You okay?
Yes, yes.
I haven't taken care of survival first, then everything I just said is idiotic. I do a drill every day. Well, I already told you these, didn't I? Every day we start with Turkish get-ups.
Right.
Turkish get-ups prepare you. It's fall training, and it's getting up from a fall. We also do this drill at the end of every workout given to me by Taylor Lewis on stumbling. And basically, let me tell you how simple it is. Stand on your right foot and take your left hand and touch your right foot. Make sure your left foot is in the air. And it's funny because the first time you try it, you might not last a second. And then you switch and go stand on your left foot and touch your right hand. Well, what he tells us is that this teaches you how to stumble. And I'm like, wait, what? He goes, yeah, stumbling is when you throw your feet, all your weight in one foot, and then your body can't handle it, and you fall, and you break something. Oh.
Interesting.
Wow. So let's practice the stumble drill. Let's practice the Turkish get-ups, because if I do both of those, I might prevent myself from a very serious injury. Remember, Scott, at my age, it is better for me to get cancer than it is for me to break a joint falling, statistically, for longevity. And yet, how often do people ever talk about stumbling, tumbling, falling? The most dangerous thing I do every day, this is going to be weird, but statistically it's true, is get in and out of my shower.
Huh.
So every day, this sounds so silly, I put my hand on a dry wall every time I step into a shower.
Right.
Habit. I did tiny habits to do this. I always put my hand inside the shower. And that is to ensure that every entrance and egress from the shower is safer. It's such a small thing.
That is a small thing.
Statistically, it's the safest thing I do. Putting on my seatbelt, don't smoke, put my hand in the shower. That's all great. And then someone's going to raise their hand and say, well, it's also important to check for sharks before you go into the ocean.
Right. Definitely. Not statistically,
no.
Yeah.
But, you know, in fact, in Freakonomics, they talk about car seats, about they're just not, you know.
Yeah.
Legally, you have to put your kid in a car seat, but statistically, it's not important.
Interesting. Well, Dan, thank you so much. This has been awesome. One last question, actually. What's the time frame for the new book? Now what?
Well, if Laurie listens to this, she'll want to strangle me. This poor girl, I make her work overtime. Right. How about, let's just say maybe 6 months from now, okay?
6 months. Sounds good.
You know, it's funny. It's actually in pretty good shape from the accordion side. It's not in very good shape from the writing side.
Yeah. Okay.
If that makes sense now. It does now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm looking forward to getting the print copy of Before We Go this week. And, you know, this is a book for me, you know, as all your books. I mean, this is something no matter what's going on, I'll pretty much sit down, read the book cover to cover within a couple of days. Use that yellow highlighter, red pen, and it's one of those books, Dan, that stays pretty much an arm's reach away from my desk so that I can always, you know, because your books, let me just say this, your books are not meant to be read, okay? They're meant to be read and applied and referred back to. And what's really interesting is, you know, I'm out there and I talk to other trainers and things like that, and pretty much everybody says that about your books. You know, these are books, you know, what books do you use and refer back to? I think I've even asked that on my Facebook page. I haven't asked that question in a while, but you know, your books are pretty much the books that come up. And that list of books I read in the beginning is an amazing book list. I mean, every single one of those books. You know, the only one that I haven't read, Dan, I'll be honest, is From Dad to Grad.
Hey, ping me an email and I'll send it to you right after this. Okay,
cool. Well, again, Dan, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I really appreciate these interviews. You really have
honored, as always. You know that. I love talking to you.
You got it. All right.
All right, my friend. Talk soon,
Dan.
Okay?
You got it. All right, guys. Just a couple of quick things here, and then I am going to sign off and get out of here. So make sure that if you are interested in winning a free copy of the book, make sure to drop in a quick review on iTunes or Stitcher. It's very easy to do, and all you have to do is send me a screenshot or let me know which review is yours, and you'll be entered to win a free copy of Dan's new book, Before We Go. If you'd like to purchase the book, make sure that you go to On Target Publications. You can go to ardellatraining.com/learn, check out Before We Go and so many other great educational resources there. It's amazing, and you get so many extras, so many bonus things with each product. It's really, really awesome that Laurie does this. So check that out. And then one last thing is make sure to go to the show notes for this episode, and you can find all the great resources and things that we talked about in the interview in the show notes section for episode number 147. So thank you for joining me this week. I'll be back next week with more great interviews and great content coming your way on the Ardella Training Podcast. Take care, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Train strong, train safe, and I'll see you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Ardella Training Podcast. Go to ardellatraining.com right now to join Scott's tribe of passionate fitness enthusiasts. Get valuable updates and resources that will help you take it to the next level. Train strong. We'll catch you next time on the Ardella Training Podcast.